Who's him here? And he has his wife and three daughters in California waiting for him. So if anybody needs something to do tomorrow afternoon, he needs a ride to the Philadelphia airport sometime after lunch. So if anybody feels inspired or you're free time, yet I'm not sure what to do tomorrow, he would be happy for a ride. So I'll turn the time over to him. Maybe I'll just have a little word of prayer with him before he begins. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of having Benjamin here with us this morning. Thank you for men of God in other parts of the world who are reaching out to touch the hearts and lives of men and women and families. Lord, just bless him as he shares this morning and guide him by your Spirit. And pray that we could have open hearts and minds to hear what he shares. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I should mention, he does, I've given him a deadline. He needs to be finished by 10. I'm not sure what time it is. So that we can head on down the highway to catch Fairview's service yet this morning. So we'll be leaving pretty promptly after he's done speaking. There is a table out there with a few things on that he brought along from India if you're interested in something there.
I want to thank God this morning for this wonderful privilege that he has given me to come here and share the good news from the Word and the good news that God is doing around the world, especially from the country that I am from, India. And we want to give you some report on that. And I want to thank you for the pastor, the board members, and especially Brother Eli for introducing me over here and giving me this wonderful time. Well, I want to bring greetings to you all in the name of Jesus, and especially from the country where I am serving the Lord from, India. Our ministry that we are doing is a fruitful ministry, is international. And sure, this morning I remember the word the Lord says in Luke chapter 10 verse 2, surely, because Jesus said surely, he told to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers, laborers into his harvest field. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the world map that you can see, and the yellow spot, that's the India where I am from. And we are 1.21 billion people in our nation, and we have Hindu peoples 80%, 11% Christians, and Buddhist 4%, Christians are just 3%, and others are 2. And Hindu people, they are the majority in our country. And what they call, it's a Hindu nation. That's why they say Hindustan. In English, its name is India, but in India, Indian name, it's called Hindustan. Hindu means a Hindu people, religion. Stan is a place, means the place is for Hindus. That's what they believe. And they believe in 33 million gods they have, which they worship, the idol worship. So these are the some temples they have, and these are the some of the 33 million gods that they worship. They have elephant god, they have cow god, they have raccoon god, they have snake god, and all kinds of god what they believe, and they worship those gods, 33 million gods. And these are the some of the slums from Mumbai. I am from Mumbai city, Bombay. Previously it used to be called, now it says Mumbai due to political reason. And the state of Maharashtra I am from, and the Maharashtra state has 110 million people in Maharashtra state, and Bombay itself has 22 million people. Now this is the train, you can see the people are going for work, coming from work. And every day 7 million people travel by this train to go to job, come back home. And now our country is, since I told you it's a place of Hindu, they have lot of there are a lot of things that are going on, because now we are having a strong Hindu government since 2014, and now their agenda is by 2022 to kick out minorities like Christians and Muslims. They don't love Christians and Muslims, they hate. That's why persecution is growing day by day. They don't persecute Muslim because they know Muslim peoples are dangerous people, they are ready to kill and die. But they know Christian doesn't, you know, they are a peaceful people and they don't kill us. So they openly persecute Christians, beating pastors, burning churches, killing pastors. So now there is an anti-conversion law bill has been passed in parliament in 5 states. And it's against the law to preach and convert, and especially baptize. If you find baptizing in people, you will be in jail. And the Hindu radicals are persecuting Christians and religious minorities. I might show you the video next, maybe on the next slide. But there was nearly 3 times where I have to flee away because of the threat that I received. This is a Gideon's Bible which I found in my church compound, and it was torn up and it was written on that in our language and in Hindi. It says, warning from Hindu terrorism organization to stop preaching. Otherwise, on the backside it was written, from January onwards, we are going to start killing you people. So these are the threats that we receive while we are doing ministry in our nation. The Lord's work in India. We several years back, in the beginning of my ministry, I was sitting on a train station waiting for a train in the midnight to take me back home, because I was preaching in a village, small village, because it was Saturday night. Sunday morning I need to preach in my church. So I was waiting there, and I was as I was waiting, I saw a very old man, about 80-85 years old. He was sitting on the train station. So I heard the voice of the Lord in my heart, go and talk to this old man. And I said, what I'm going to talk to him, he's going to understand me or not, because he's a very old man. So, but it was something that was happening in my heart. So I went to him, and he was a very elderly person. So I said to him, Father, and he looked at me and he said, yes, son. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he took his glasses off and he looked at me and said, does he live in this city? And for some moment I laughed. No one was there. I just myself was there. And as I was laughing, I began to cry, because I heard some voice in my heart. This man spent 80-85 years of his life, and he never heard the name of Jesus even one time in his life. That really broke my heart that night. And I heard the voice. It's saying, what are you going to do now? And I said, Lord, I want to reach my nation with the gospel. I want to plant churches. From that day onwards, I decided to plant 100 churches by 2020. It was 25 years back. And you know what? Till today, by God's grace, we were able to plant 100 churches, 110 churches till today. It was not even 2020. So I want to praise God for the fulfillment of the vision, and prayer partners around the world who are praying and supporting the ministry that we are doing. This was the previous one, so I'm overseeing now 110 churches. We are giving training and pastors, leaders. We have children's home. We have widows ministry. We help. We have 10 daycare center where we educate children, over 600 plus poor children. Because in India, many children, they are not able to go to schools. They are into child labor. You know, they are supposed to go into the school. But first thing, because their parents are not educated. Second thing, they don't have enough money or enough needs what they have. They cannot go to schools. So our ministry helps 600 plus children. And we have a different projects. What we do, we do, it's we have church planting, we have police outreach, we have politician outreach, prison ministry, Bible school, food for the poor, helping widows, sewing machines, and we give clear water to the people. These are some pictures you can see. These are the children ministry. These are the school kids. We offer to kids, or over 1,000 school kids, for the children's. These are our missionaries where we send out. This is my wonderful family. I have three daughters, Naomi, Salome, and Carmi, and my wife, Sandhya. And this is my transportation, what I call it's my horse. So my family, we travel by motorbike. It's 150cc motorbike. And we go for the ministry. And we praise God for the provision, whatever we have. We love to go with our family to preach and teach and to do the ministry among the slum and among the poor. These are the bicycles and some of the cycles that we distribute in our ministry. This is the auto rickshaw. It's a three-wheeler or rickshaw called taxi. Now I believe in self-support ministry because if you have heard of Compassion International that was serving in India, they have been stopped by their government. Now in the coming days, missionaries and foreign funds are going to be stopped. That's what they are planning. So if the foreign missionary don't come, if the foreign support has been stopped, then what the work that's going on in India, will it be stopped because the funds are not there and missionary is not coming? So God has given me the vision to help self-support pastors. But how are we going to do that? We don't have much opportunities for job works, and not many people would like to give jobs to Christians, especially pastors. So I want to help our pastors to self-support you by doing some business. So this is one kind of small business. This auto rickshaw carries 3 person, and this one auto rickshaw helps 3 pastors' family to self-support them. Each pastors take turn by 8 hours, after 8 hours. So 3 pastors do this business for three different ships in one auto rickshaw. And this has been really a wonderful, great work as the Lord provides. Every Christmas we would like to, at least as the Lord provides, we like to give a Christmas gift to them, at least 3 auto rickshaws to 9 different pastors who are serving. Because I believe the church starts from home. If the pastor is not able to take care of their family, how is he going to take care of the church? So because pastors are, they are living by faith, they don't have any means of income. So once we help them with them, they are able to do the ministry with the help of the business that they are carrying, so that they have a full freedom and opportunity to serve God in a very happy way, and because their needs are being met. So this is one of the projects that we help our pastors to be self-supportive. These are the police officers that I am praying for. One day it happened several years back. I felt in my spirit, and the Lord was telling to me, go and talk to a police officer. And I say, what, I'm going to talk to the police officer? I never talked to the police officer. Because police officers' mind are always, in high temper. They talk very rudely or something like that. I say, what, I'm going to talk to him? And the Lord said, no, just go and talk to him. I said, okay, Lord, I obey him. And I went to a police officer and went there. And I don't know what to begin, what to talk to him. And I looked at me and he said, yes, tell me what you want. And I said, suddenly something, the words came in my mind. I said, sir, thank you for your serving in our city. We really appreciate you and we love you. And he looked at me with a big eyes and he said, from which world have you come here? He said, I am serving this city from last 20 years and not a single person has come here and said, thank you and we appreciate you for the work that you have done. And then I could see the tears in his eyes and he respectfully, he said to me, sir, can you sit? Wow, I felt the Lord is working now. Because he's telling, sir, please can you sit? Then he offered me tea. Now it's a really very big thing when a police officer is offering you a tea in his police station. Now, if even though you have a diabetes, you have to drink because that's a big thing. You have the police officer is giving a tea, you know. So I drank the tea, and then he said, "How can I help you?" And I said, "Sir, I have come from the church. I'm a church pastor." He respected me, and he said, "Yes, tell me what I can do." And I said, "I want to pray for you all, police officers, because you are doing a really good job. You are protecting our country, our nation, our people, in our city. So we want to pray for your blessings and protections for you and for all the police officers that are working with you." And he said, "Okay." So that was a Christmas time, and one day it happened. He called me and he said, "Okay, I can give you 10 minutes of time." Now, 10 minutes of time while they are working, it's a big thing they gave us. And we went along with all our workers. We went there. It was 250 police officers standing in a big line. And on duty, 10 minutes of time they have given me. In 10 minutes we preached, we prayed for them, and we gave them a small cake and a Bible. We prayed and we went back. After 1 week, I received a call from this police officer, and he said, "What have you done in our police station?" I thought something went wrong. But then he said, "Since you left, you prayed, we could feel the peace in our police station. And the police officers are sometimes, they are reading the Bible daily." I said, "Wow." I said, "That is good." Then he said to me, "Can you do a favor to me?" I said, "Yes, tell me what." He said, "I am in charge of another 7 police stations. Can you go and do this same what you have done here?" The Lord opened the door for another 7 police stations. And we didn't have Bible. And I said, "Lord, I have said yes to him, but I don't have a Bible. But I know you are God who provides. You are Jehovah Jireh. So I believe you." So we've been praying and praying and praying. And one day, someone knocked at my door. And I said, "There is a parcel. There is a mail for you." I said, "Okay, give it to me." And he said, "I cannot give it to you like this. You need to bring a truck." I said, "Truck? Why?" "Because some boxes has been come. Some materials are there. You need to pick up from there." And I said, "What is there in that?" And he said, "I don't know, but it says some religious materials are there." Okay, I went there and I saw it was 1,000 Bibles were there already. Someone has donated. And from where? I don't know. It was anonymous. We needed 1,000 Bible, and 1,000 Bibles came. Since that day onwards, I said, "Lord, every year we need at the Christmas time 1,000 Bibles to reach and to share this good news to all, everyone." So every Christmas, what we do, our ministry, for 1 week, we have a Christmas festival program outreach on the streets where we invite many people. We sing songs, we do some skits, we preach, we pray, and then we distribute 1,000 Bibles. Every year we do. And because of this thing, we have seen that the ministry has been grown and the churches has been planted. These are the police officers that are receiving the cakes and the Bible. This is the politicians. Now, recently, he has become a big minister just 2 days back in our state of Maharashtra. He is a strong Hindu, but receiving the gospel. This is how we do at the Christmas crusades on the street. We preach and teach where every day is for six days, people come and hear the gospel. For one Bible, it's like $3, you know. And we distribute 100,000 gospel tracts at the Christmas time. 1,000 Bibles and 100,000 gospel tracts. Once I was sitting in a conference. Next to me, there was one brother. He had a very beautiful Bible. I said, "You have a very nice Bible." And he said, "Yes, so what? I have like 30 Bibles at my home." I was shocked to hear what he said. Because I know here in America, you have Bible for man, Bible for woman, Bible for couples, Bible for husband, Bible for young, Bible for children, Bible for everyone. But if you come India, hardly people have the Bible. And if they have one Bible for whole family, for 6 of 7 people. So I was very shocked to mind. And I said to him like this, and he was shocked to hear. And he said, "Okay, I really touched by what you said. I want to donate you 300 Bibles. I said, "Thank you." So donating Bibles and gospel tracts really helping us to plant churches and preach the gospel in our nation. Because our nation needs Jesus Christ. They are lost. They are fed up with their 33 million God. They don't know to whom to please. But we praise God. We have just one living God who died and rose again on from the dead and he's coming again to receive us back. He loves us so much. So people are coming to the Lord. But are we ready? This is the beginning. I read the word. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The very first time when I came to America, I was shocked to see every nook and corner there is a church, the cross, the big churches are there. But if you come to India, every nook and corner, you will find the Hindu temples. Hindu temples, all strongholds in all every blocks, everywhere. I said, Lord, I want to see that my nation will come to you, and I want to see that every corner, every block, there will be churches. That's my heart, I said to the Lord. Now, when I say that I have planted 110 churches, I'm not talking about the church buildings. I'm talking about the churches that we are having in houses, churches we are having in schools. Now, one problem that we are again facing, having schools, churches in schools. The Hindu radicals put pressure on the schools because they are saying that schools are meant to be for education and not for religious purpose. So they kick us out from the schools. And we rent a place for a church. They put pressure on the landlord because those are Hindu people and they kick us out. So it was becoming very hard for us to worship in a house, worship in a rented place, worship in a school because we are lacking building. We don't have buildings to worship. So there are a lot of persecution like that we are receiving. But we want to praise God. Even though the persecution is growing, the work of the Lord is growing daily. And daily people are coming into the kingdom of God. We do some social work that people can be reached. We do free eye testing. Then these are some of them. We give clean water to people. One of the major problem we are having a water. You know, people don't have water to drink. They go miles and miles of a walk. And, you know, bring water for their family. These are the sewing machines projects. This is the van. These are the things. We need church buildings like that. So, we would want to encourage you to partner in our ministry. Recently, we went to a very... big flood, and you know, and just the flood was very bad. You can see, this is my apartment where I'm staying. All the motorbikes, these are the cars. Very bad, where there were no electricity for months. No water for drinking. We lost everything. I lost my laptops, computer, our gas cylinders, and our beds were just sinking on the water. We lost many things, Bibles, materials, everything. And, you know, because I was staying in a apartment building, we were able to go up on the second floor. But the first floor was all messed up, all of it was on water. But the people who had been problem were on the slum area. 13 people from our ministry, they have died. And one of the pastor's son has been died because he touched the electric pole and he got the current in the electric power current and he died. So I don't know how to show video on this because it's not my laptop. But I could have shown you the video that was that we have. But we need still prayers for our people because we are still recovering. It will take another 6 months to recover from the flood that we had. And we are still helping people with food and clothing and all those things. These are some of the orphans that we are having, we are taking care of. It's called My Home, Home for the Needy People. And this is how God is working among the nation of India. Planting church and bringing people to Christ, it's not that hard, my friends, in nation of India. India is a big harvest field. What problems we are facing is that we are lacking discipleship. We are lacking the materials that we need to be disciple to people. We don't have enough Bibles. We don't have gospel. enough materials, teaching materials to teach to people. Okay, we can bring people to Christ, we can plant church, but what's next? How are we going to take care of? It's like baby is born, but how then we are going to take care? It's very difficult for us because we don't have places to worship, first thing. If we worship in a house, people, the persecutors, they say house is meant to be place to just stay, to be peaceful, and you are worshiping, you are making noise there. And government is not listening to us because it's a Hindu government. The police is not listening because they are under the pressure of the government. A lot of things are going on. Pastors, I have some videos. I don't know, I cannot show you on this laptop. But I have videos where pastor has been killed. People who come to Christ, they have been beaten. I have one video here, one lady has been, people are beating to her because she has converted herself and she has become Christians, and people are beating him. Why have you left our religion? But she is standing strong there and she says, no matter what happens, I am not going to leave my faith. I am strong in Christ. She said, well, I will die, but I will live and die for Jesus Christ. People, when they come to the Lord, they pay price in India. They have been cast out from their society. But we praise God. One time it happened, there was one lady who had a cancer, and doctor said, within 3 months you are going to die. So there was one Hindu priest gave her an idol of God and said, you worship this idol, every day you take care of this idol, and as you take care and worship this idol, this God will give you long life. So she brought the idol at home and she was taking care every day and she was worshipping. So one day it happened, the window was open and the wind came, and because of the wind, the statue was fallen down and it was been broken, his hand was broken. And she said, I am fed up with this God. I have brought this God to take care of me, but I am taking the care of this God every day. Now his hand is broken. What to do? She was fed up. She was crying. And that evening she went to the market to bring some vegetables. And there our workers were distributing the literatures. And she got the literature. And she said, what is this? And our workers said, this is the gospel, good news. And we will pray for you. Jesus will give new life. And when she heard new life, she was very eager, what is about that? And our people prayed for her, gave her the gospel. She came back home. She started coming church. And it was over now 3 years. Still she is alive. Doctor said, for 3 months you will die. But still it's 3 years, still she is alive. Now she says, I don't need these gods, which I have to take care of these gods. But I have that God. That God is taking care of me. That his name is Jesus. She received the new life in Jesus Christ. So preaching gospel, bringing people to Christ, it's not difficult. But what is the challenge that we are facing is how are we going to disciple them? We need a lot of Bibles. Now the Christmas is coming. I don't have the Bibles yet, but I believe the Lord will provide. I believe because it's his work that we are going, and he is going to provide. We need a lot of teaching materials. We need to help pastors to self-support them. We need a place where we can worship. Our ministry is really lacking a place. We need a place where we can worship God. You know, we need to have our own headquarters, ministerial center, church, where we can come and worship the living God. So these are the challenges that we face, because we believe, I believe, when Jesus is going to come very soon, you know, when he's going to come, he's not going to ask, what have you done in where you are living, how much money you had, or how much a big car or house you had, or what you have earned. I believe when Jesus is going to come, he is going to just ask us that he is going to ask us that, how many souls have you won into the kingdom of God? That's what he's going to ask us. I believe that. When Jesus was walking on the streets, he was hungry. And when he saw one fig tree, it was a very green. And he thought some fruits would be there. So he went there and he put his hands inside. And Bible says he found no fruits. And then Jesus cursed that tree. Sometimes it happens is that our lives are so much of green, but inside there is no fruits in our lives. Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you so that ye might bear fruits, and that your fruit should remain. God is looking for fruits, and God is looking for souls. We are engaged in the ministry. We are engaged in a soul winning program where we see hundreds and thousands of people are coming. Now when I go from here on the 10th of December going back to India, we are going to have a greater vision. Until now we have planted 110 churches, but we believe in the coming years God is going to give us a bigger plan. But I am here this morning to encourage you and ask your prayer and ask your help for the needs that we have. Please pray for us, because we don't know what's tomorrow going to happen. We may die any time because of the persecution. Second thing, we lack Bibles. We need Bibles, gospel materials. We need help of pastors. We need churches. So pray for all those needs. I was very glad to hear when it was written here, my house will be called a house of prayer to all nations. And it's written here, go into the whole world and preach the good news to all the creation. I am from the country where over 1600 dialogues people speak. I know only 4 languages of India, but still we are taking the gospel to each and every person. We need gospel materials in our language, not in English. We have a lot of English literatures, but people don't read English. People read in their own language. So we reach to the people with their own language. This morning, I am very humble, request your prayers and your support for our ministry. And thank you once again this morning. I believe whatever you have heard is going to challenge you to pray and remember us. My name is Benjamin Wadekar, and especially from Bombay, the city called that the city that never sleeps, and where India is a big harvest field. So I invite you to join our hands together, come alongside and be a partner in the ministry, in the work, into the kingdom of God. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin. So we just praise the Lord for men who have a vision that can do that kind of work. And Benjamin, as you saw, he doesn't drive a big fancy car. He has a 2-wheel horse that he rides around on, and he makes do with just the normal things in that common people there use. So, Lord, blessings to you, Benjamin, and thanks for sharing with us.
I have some clothes back. It will help the orphan children and the children to help them education. If you want, you can have that for any donation. Thank you very much.